Okay, we're good.
Yeah, great.
So we are recording now. Okay.
Great. So you hear me for 2 minutes, just giving you in broad strokes how this project fits in, and Kiko will dive into the details. And we've also, as you know, provided a sort of pamphlet PDF that gives you some a rough idea of what the initial stage might look like for the project. Now, first, let's clarify, what is a YSI project and what does this project really entail? How does it fit into the YSI community? And first of all, like all YSI projects, we're all volunteers working on this. This is all a volunteer-driven operation, but we're trying to find as many young scholars and senior scholars, for that matter, as possible who are interested in this particular research area. And there's a particular focus in this project to take it in two directions. One is, and Kiko can tell the backstory, but we have been privileged enough to maintain contact through over a number of years with Robert Steigerwald at the Chicago Fed, and he is interested in working with us for a number of reasons, but he has access and is willing to work with us to open up Chatham House Rules conferences, closed conference by invitation only, over the next couple of years. And we've already attended one in Chicago not so long ago, and there's going to be another one. Actually, there's a number that we've already attended. Kiko's been to two or three already himself. So we're trying to open up this space for us to participate in, to develop our own projects alongside those meeting opportunities. Now, the specifics of the interest that Robert Steigerwald brings to the table is that he is in the process of regulating and fully analytically understanding clearing houses and clearing arrangements, and in the context of financial market infrastructure. And there's a particular problem that the academic literature is not really ready to contribute to, and he's struggling with finding other scholars or a deeper analysis, systemic analysis of liquidity and clearing houses. And that's why primarily he's been interested in working with us and bringing somebody like Perry Merlingen, who's developed a money view specifically on emphasizing liquidity over solvency, which is usually the go-to analytical framework of basically not having a money perspective or money in the equation if you're a regular economist at all. So he's not able to work or bring in a conventional economic analysis to help him understand this, because it is about cash flow, it is about balance sheets, it's about liquidity. And so what we need in this project, this is way too specific and way too limited in scope if we just focus on CCPs, because we can find maybe a handful of people, but what this project really needs is a fully developed, comprehensive view on liquidity, which we're also interested in building. So that is, on the one hand, this project will dive deep into the specifics of the problems that the Chicago Fed is presenting us in these open conferences. And that's one big dimension we hope we will drive, specifically with support now we have from Robert Steigerwald and these conferences we're able to attend. On the other hand, we are going to try to gather young scholars and senior scholars around the general idea of liquidity and use the CCP and financial market infrastructure case as a special first case in which we want to understand liquidity in that specific context. But liquidity issues appear in many different places in the financial system. And for us to actually build a community around this, we actually have to be a bit broader, and we have to sort of generate interest around this and the conversation around this from anybody who's working on liquidity issues in general. So for us to have a long-term and magnetic project, we cannot be limiting ourselves to very, you know, specific special interest problem, which is of high importance, but only very few people have both the institutional knowledge and the analytical framework to be working in this area. So we're going to try to check off, anybody's invited who checks off one of two things. One, you're interested in liquidity, check, that's a general requirement. Number two, in this specific case, if you're specifically interested in liquidity and clearinghouses, that's an added bonus. But I think you want to use the CCPs, even if you're generally interested in liquidity, to just have it as a use case, but have enough scholars around that can have a general conversation and develop research on this topic in the room. So this project, for now, for the first couple of months, and with Kiko driving this dimension of clearinghouses, will have this particular dimension. But other members of the project that might include yourself might build out a different dimension. You might say, hey, I'm interested in liquidity on exchange rate markets, or I might be interested in liquidity in a more traditional, what happens when we unwind quantitative easing? What does that do to liquidity conditions? There might be all kinds of other instances, and we should all brainstorm about who and what are your specific interests in this project. But the only common denominator is that we're all interested in liquidity versus solvency. There's a money view perspective, which is, broadly using Perry's framework in the background, which is basically balance sheets. There's similar frameworks that use that as well. And we're already seeing a lot of interest. I think we're hitting a good note here, because last meeting there were 10 people. We're getting a lot of emails. There's a lot of people actually interested in this type of project. So there will be many dimensions we can spell out. And the way this can only work is that the liquidity itself is the general backstop. There's enough people interested in talking about liquidity in general, and we will dive into specific topics as individual members and individual cooperations allow us to dive deeper into specific topics, as we are now. And that's where I let Kiko elaborate on the potential for this specific dimension of the liquidity project.
Yeah, thanks, Jay, for that. And let me just add to that, that's exactly 100% how we envision this. Let me just add one small thing to it. If there is an intellectual question that you have that is within financial market infrastructure, but not directly liquidity, but then still talk to us. This is about liquidity. This is the major point that we want to address. For example, the last time we talked about how Facebook and Libra, and there's a lot of questions that come out. This might not be directly within the liquidity project, but still this still has a financial market infrastructure. So questions like that around blockchain or others that might not directly touch on this, still send us an application, and there might be still room, and we might have to come up with another project. But financial market infrastructure in general is another direction we would want to keep ourselves open.
To complement what Kiko is saying here, within the liquidity project, which is a broad umbrella project, the financial market infrastructure piece, which we're now diving, is sort of what we call a sub-project or a specific instance in which there might be, us going to a particular conference and you have an application for that conference, or to participate in a specific instance of the project. And that might require you to sort of check off more boxes than just being interested in liquidity. But if you would like to sort of, for instance, the Libra project or some other project really catches your attention, you could start organizing around that and maybe find an opportunity to meet around that or organize a webinar series around that. So that all fits within maybe the broad context of the liquidity project, but you would have to develop your own sort of proposal within the context of the project that would allow us to have a meeting or another dimension. But with now specifics, now is the specific dimension that it has more requirements is what Kiko is now explaining.
Exactly. All right. So thank you, Jay. So I'm going to quickly walk you through the presentation. And then afterwards, by having done that, you kind of know where Jay and I are coming from. Through this project that we're proposing, and that we then have a quick roll call. Everyone quickly introduces him or herself. It seems to be that it's mostly men, as I can see at the moment. that we quickly go through this, introduce ourselves, what is our interest in this, and then if there's any questions, address them, and then we should be through. So on the first page, can someone just confirm that you can see? Yeah, thank you, Andrew. So on the first page, you can see that a range of people have, all of these people you see in this page, you see Perry, you see Michael Beale, who is with the Federal Reserve in DC, with the Board of Governors. You see Jay, you see myself, all four of us have committed that we want to do some sort of research in this space, meaning liquidity project or liquidity project CCP space. And you can read through what is sort of the motivation behind them. But the question is, why do these four people commit themselves in doing this research? And the next three pages is gonna be sort of the answer on this. Before we go into these three pages, you see on the right-hand side, Jay and I just broke down sort of the constituents of financial market infrastructure from exchanges down to the payment system and sort of that specific project in which, for example, Perry has committed himself, I would assume with Michael together and Robert Steigerwald, is then on this clearing, central counterparty clearing houses in light of derivatives markets. Okay, so after having done that, you see the first page, so to say. So what's the situation? You see in the upper left-hand corner a remark to the G20 meeting that happened in 2009 in Pittsburgh. It was just after the financial crisis, and politicians, policymakers, regulators were sort of were pressed to do something because something had to be done. There was because of the financial crisis. Lehman Brothers had gone down. Their derivatives contracts, which were cleared centrally, had no interruptions to the derivatives markets. The contracts which sort of popped up, and there was AIG and others, which were not centrally cleared. These were the derivatives contracts which made all the problems. That could be one reason why lawmakers, policymakers decided that they want to mandate. It is close to a law in which they say that derivatives contracts, standardized derivatives contracts, now have to go where appropriate, so a little back door open, through CCPs. So if you look on the upper right-hand corner, what they are therefore saying is that what we have gone through before 2009, sort of some opaque multi-node system, financial system, where you had these bigger nodes representing over-the-counter parties such as JP Morgan and Citigroup, as an example, should now be switched to what is perceived to be a transparent central node, where you have one global, where you have CCPs sort of at the center of it. On the lower left-hand corner, for your information, just to get a feel of what we're talking about, the global OTC derivatives markets in the end of 2018, according to the BIS, is sort of north of $500 trillion, most of it in interest rate swaps, and about a little bit less than two-thirds of those are at the end of 2018 were actually centrally cleared. It is conventional wisdom, but this is now a quote from the Economist, that about just a handful of global clearinghouses do the majority of all these derivatives. If you read the books from Tina Hasenpush, you would come to think it's something around 80%, but it changes probably, but just to give you a guesstimate around there, that sort of a handful, 5-6 clearinghouses is sort of responsible for the clearing of the derivatives contracts which are cleared. So these are CME is probably the biggest in Chicago, ICE, the owner of New York Stock Exchange, based in Atlanta, Eurex of Deutsche Börse, London Clearinghouse of London Stock Exchange, and the Hong Kong Exchange, just to name probably most of them. So moving on to next page, what is the problem? Well, the problem is that there is not a clear understanding of there's not a clear understanding on what to do exactly when a clearinghouse goes down. Sort of, there is no budget moment for CCPs. So on the left-hand side, you see that the concentration of risks considerably ups the ante. We're putting now all eggs into one basket. And regulators are aware of that, and policymakers. So they have marked CCPs as systemically important. In the United States, it's 5. In the European Union, 10. China is pending. And it's a bit of politics how many you really choose to be systemically important. But systemically important means they're too important or too interconnected to fail. They cannot fail. Moving on to the second column here, CCP regulation starting point in the past has often been bank regulation. However, a CCP fundamentally is no bank. There is a paper called A CCP is a CCP is a CCP. I know Andrew, for example, has definitely read it. It's an easy read. I looked it up. It's sort of like in the range of 15 to 20 pages, but it's like you can, it's like a policy paper for politicians, so you can just easily consume it. And I can send that paper to you as well when you get in touch with me. So moving on to the right-hand side, you see budget mantra for banking crises has been lend freely at a high interest rate against collateral. Of course, there's been a book around that and Lombard Street, but what is it? What is the mantra for a CCP? We're missing this budget moment. So what's the solution? Well, I'm looking at it right now in the faces of all of you. So YSI can be, or research is the solution. What you see on the left-hand side is sort of idealized the different interest groups or sort of stakeholders in this. You have public interest around policymakers and regulators, which have sort of institutional knowledge. You have sort of in this green circle, the private interest, which is the CCP. These are companies. Most of them are listed on a stock exchange. And then you have the clearing members who use the CCPs. These are the likes of JP Morgan and Citigroup. And they might have also different interests. And then it's us, sort of our project here with independent thinkers. As we know, most of us, if not all, have done Perry's class. It's always about balancing the public and the private interests, and sort of where all these sort of intersect is where Jay and I said this is sort of a meaningful research is taking place. So moving in to the right-hand side, that means that that is the plan to interact directly with public and private interest. Just idealized, iconically speaking, this is going to be Robert Steigerwald from the Fed Chicago representing the public interest. And then you have Sunil, who is the president of CME Clearing, and he's on the executive board of the CME Group. There's going to be webinars. We're going to talk about this in a minute. At these conferences, you have a whole range of all the other people who are participating there as well, which sort of leads us to the academic side or us. As you have seen on the first page, Perry is committed to doing this. There's a person called Basil Sansom, who is a postdoc at the University of Warwick, who has done already work thinking on this. And these, again, are just two names. Jay is another one. I'm another one. What that really means is that we, Jay and I, are sort of working to build a community around this on liquidity projects, but specifically now on CCPs. That means when you are interested in doing research in this field, or if you're interested to learn about this field, you're not doing it alone. So it's going to be some sort of community. Sort of finishing it off, these conferences are therefore represented with people, academics, policymakers, regulators, CCP clearing members, and ourselves. Okay, so that's the reason, sort of the story behind this. I'm going to just go through three more quick pages, which are sort of more logistics. You see sort of a timetable, how this is going to unfold over the next 2 months, 2-3 months. You see on the upper half sort of the preparations for a YSI conference, which we are going to cooperate with the Fed Chicago. And on the lower bit, you'll see sort of the application process outlined on this page. So you see within the preparations, you see two areas. One, there's past resources that you can access, and there's upcoming events that you can participate to prepare yourself for this conference. So on past resources, it's sort of one example, but I think probably the most important one, you click on that link. You all have the presentation. Again, if you don't have it, just send me an email after this and I'll send it to you. There is, that link would bring you to what we call sort of a CCP 101. Basil has done a Frankfurt debrief and has a Frankfurt conference debrief and has sort of an introduction to CCPs, 40 minutes around. You can just So see the presentations he has built and follow the webinar. On upcoming events, there's sort of two upcoming work streams. There's going to be, we're going to read Robert Steigerwald papers and going to debrief with him. That's sort of, again, someone from the public interest. And we're going to talk to Sunil, who we're going to, he proposed, there's going to be, there's two, there's around, depending on how you counted, 3, 4, 5 CCP failures. So if we want to think about how to think about a budget moment in CCPs is, well, let's look at some of the CCPs who have failed, who have been in stress moments. And we're going to pick two of them. 1987, the Hong Kong failure, CCP failure. That was a derivatives markets futures failure. And in the same in 1989 in New Zealand, there was one person who was cornering the market and then he got broke. And that clearinghouse came into stress, even though not formally didn't fail. It was kind of like a failure in a sense. And there's lessons to learn. So what we're going to do is we're going to have, I think Jay is probably, we're going to soon make this public. There's going to be papers that we propose for people to read. So Robert Steigerwald, Celine Cheng, and Andrew, who's on the call, is going to prepare that. We're going to sort of have a call and get everyone around this, collect questions, and then meet Robert a few days afterwards. We're going to do the same thing with the stress cases. Basil Sansom and myself are going to do this. Dates are on this page, but there's going to be also on YSD an announcement soon with all the information. Application. So you can, again, we've received one application already. You can apply anytime you want. I guess recommendation is that you let these have a look at the CCP 101 if you want to. Definitely recommend reading the CCP is a CCP is a CCP paper. So the policy paper is just to get you off the ground. Participate in these as you find fit and able and interesting. Participate in these calls. And then you have sort of a week to let it sink in, put out your application, and a week later you'll get to know from us. So just in the conference, a quick overview. The idea is to arrive Sunday, 27th of October to Chicago, have a welcome dinner, and then have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, we're going to speak to Perry, have about money view. We're going to hopefully, we're thinking about having some panelists, for example. We're hoping to get from the IMF, the lady who's responsible for CCPs. Sunil said he's going to participate. So we're going to try to make a little conference around this. We're going to be wanting able to listen to your research ideas, if you have any. And Jay is going to lead a mapping exercise. That will be followed the next day by the actual FET Chicago conference, which is going to be a separate schedule. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have a sort of a debrief session with Robert is planned to join us, answer some questions. We might be, we haven't even asked him yet, but there's the idea out there that we go to CME and have maybe a tour there. So whatever we can do, we will try to make possible on Wednesday. Quickly on the application, just send it to me by September the 22nd to my email address. Travel stipend, limited travel stipend are available. Part of your application should include your CV, your motivation and fit to the project, maximum of 200 words. And then it would be beneficial to your application if you include sort of open research questions as sort of that sort of our introduction to this at the beginning, sort of liquidity, any liquidity problems within the financial system you find interesting, just put it out in the application. A liquidity problem on CCPs specifically or anywhere in the financial market infrastructure, or if you have a financial market infrastructure problem in general, that could include a mentioned Libra problem, for example. And then if you could also add in which ways you would contribute to the above questions personally. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. So this was, Jay and I just wanted to quickly go through this. What we're going to suggest doing now is that maybe Jay, myself, and then everyone do the same order as it is on the here on the list. Quickly go through, introduce ourselves, why you're interested in this, and then if you have any questions, do this afterwards, and then we'll go through. Jay, you want to start?
Yeah. So, again, my personal interests in this is to make this project succeed in the long run. I think this is a really important sort of gathering ground for many potential specific instances of the project. I would like to, in this mapping exercise, amongst other things, allow us all to, the mapping exercise that we did at the that we're doing at the conference, but this is something we're doing in general, not just at the conference, to start mapping out all the different places in the financial system in which liquidity is a key analytical problem, and then we start mapping that for ourselves where we could actually have a real contribution with, and both, it's a two-way street. As Kiko has already said, okay, we have to get people who have the institutional knowledge into our conversation, but also we can provide potentially a broader intellectual and analytical frame to bring this into a systemic view, which is often lacking. These people have a lot of institutional specialized knowledge, but there's a lack of an analytical frame potentially. And there's a lack of research because of that. There's not many people doing research across the board. So I think in the long run, this is a really fertile ground. I would like to make this a broad project in that sense. And besides you applying for Kiko's workshop at the Chicago Fed and joining the webinars, I would also encourage you to think about where do you see liquidity be an interesting issue that you would like to contribute to, if it's not this particular instance. And then we could start thinking about a webinar series or a way to identify people we'd like to interview and learn more about that specific area. And then we could drive the attention of the entire group of people that are interested in around liquidity into those areas as well, but you would be the one leading the same effort that Kiko's not leading in CCPs. So there's two dimensions here, and let's keep a broad ship. That's my goal, but we would like to hear now from you. Kiko's done a lot of work in the specific instance of CCPs and developed a deep relationship, which we're going to delve into. But to what degree do you see yourself there, or what, do you have other ideas, other contributions? And what is your personal background? Where does that come in to contribute to this project? That's basically what I have to say.
Awesome. Everyone calls me Kiko. Real name is sort of Gerhard Kolter-Herberg. I'm half European, half Latin American. I personally am always drawn to having been brought up by one, my mother sort of coming from Latin America with a background which sort of less economically developed the area she's from, and my dad's sort of European, sort of a different economic level. So I personally am drawn to questions around how come that some areas do less well and some other areas do more well. And I see myself sort of with the 70 plus years when I'm of that age, I'd like to be in one spot where I contribute to the economic development of that area or these people. Could be anywhere in the world. So that's what's sort of my long-term goal. I'd like to do this within financial system and maybe financial market infrastructure. If you look between China and Turkey, they've gone different ways in developing the economies. And I think you can see that one country had a better grip on their financial markets. And that makes a big difference in how you develop sort of your people. So that's a little bit about myself and where I'm coming from and my motivation around this. Indeed, Jay has mentioned it now, I think twice. This was in a Frankfurt conference end of 2015, where we all, including Jay and a few others, met Robert and a few others as well. And from then on, we just stayed in touch. This is just an area which is where Robert is offering to open up his sort of mind and share his institutional knowledge. So this is just a great starting point to begin with. On top of that, this is an area which is requires thinking. So this is, I cannot agree with more that this is just a great starting point, and from then on, there's a lot of other opportunities to do that. So I think my academic background is sort of up to the master level, macroeconomics and finance. I work in a corporate environment right now. I'm very much interested in startups, and I'm doing this on the side. I'm financial market infrastructure is definitely something that caught my interest so far. So I'd say we'll move it over to the next person. And I, on my side, the next one would be Andrew.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Andrew, and I'm a law student at McGill. I study both civil and common law, so I'm really interested in the comparative dimension of this stuff, how different countries handle their financial market infrastructures differently. I went to the last CCP conference after having taken, and I think this is how most people get into this, Perry Merling's course on Coursera on money and banking. I started following YSI for a couple of years and then saw the call out for the Conference of Fed Chicago, and I threw my CV at Kiko and he accepted me. I don't think I had much competition, so he's like, screw it, I'll take a law student that studies intellectual property but wants to be a securities regulator one day. And so now I'm involved in this stuff. I'm really interested.
Professor, so don't make yourself lower than you are.
Sorry, what did you call me?
We did not take a professor and decided for you. So don't put yourself.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's how we are.
You made Pablo pay his own way. Or sorry, Paolo.
Yeah, he had his own ticket, yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested in the whole liquidity project in general, the economic history side of it, like Perry Merling writes about, and then just all of the institutional stuff. And one of the areas that there is scholarship on it is in law. And I know is this readable or is it backwards?
It is.
No, yeah, it's readable. Fine.
A CCP is a CCP is a CCP is not a bank, but the textbooks on banking law are where you learn about CCPs. So something to think about.
Daniel, you would be next on my list.
I would be next. Fine. Yeah. Hey, I'm Daniel. I'm currently a master's student at Kiel in Germany. I currently work as a macro analyst at a German bank. So my background with YSI is actually the economics, law, and finance group, where I contributed to already. So I organized some webinars on specific topics with people from the ECB. I'm interested so primarily in macroeconomics. And when I watched Perry Merling's course, I was really fascinated about liquidity, about the approach Perry had on monetary economics compared to, I don't know, like standard macro. I was really fascinated by that, and to see how liquidity issues can precipitate financial crisis. This was so, and that's why I want to study liquidity and all the special issues regarding that. And today, sure, the central clearing counterparties. Yeah.
Abigail, can you speak? And I might be mistaken, but I think you might have been already also joining on Monday. But I don't know, you weren't able to say anything then. Can you speak now? I don't think so. So we're moving on to Ayotza. Did you move the room?
I'm here.
Okay, hi.
So hi, my name is Ayotza, as Kiko said. I've been around YSI since 2016, I think. I've been organizing webinars and some conferences with the Financial Stability Working Group and with the Keynesian Working Group mainly. And currently I'm doing a PhD in Geneva. I started quite recently, actually. My topic is macroeconomics and the way I found myself interested in issues of liquidity and issues of financial markets, it's because I'm trying to study how the financing relation between non-financial corporations and financial markets has changed over the years, over the last decades. And as I refuse to do that only from the point of view of non-financial corporations, and also because I'm integrating this money view of Perry Merglin and others, then I started to look at the literature in financial markets and how financial markets have changed in the last decades, and how that has also changed this financing relationship between financial markets and non-financial corporations. And what I found, and this is the problem that you were, both of you, Jay and Kiko, were pointing at, that the literature about how the financial market infrastructure has changed is quite narrow, and I don't find much literature on it. So I decided that part of my PhD might be also to kind of contribute to this literature and focus on how financial markets have changed and how that has or how that impacts the liquidity for non-financial corporations and the liquidity within the financial market. So I really need, and I'm really keen into develop a knowledge on the topic of this financial market infrastructure. And from that, I started to read about CCPs and other key institutions, and other also like I've been working already a bit on shadow banking with Daniela Gabor and others. So this is how I got here, and this is how I found that might be an interest for me, and maybe I can also like contribute with something that could be. That could be basically it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
So this means that, Jose, that we need to now, with, you don't know this so well, some of you, but the YSI governance structure always means the projects are organized by a working group or multiple working groups. So far, Kiko is part of the Financial Stability Group, and the Finance Law Economics is also involved because their organizing coordinators have shown interest. Now, Jose, since you're part of the Keynesian group, maybe we need to expand. If you become an organizer in this project, then we need to expand it to three working groups, which is great, because this should be this could be a very expansive central project to YSI. So the more working groups pay attention to it, the better. That being said, let me just say a couple things. We are having these calls, not just because we want you to respond to the specific call for applications for the Chicago conference, right? We want, this call is intended for you to become an invitation if you are interested in liquidity, as you've all shown an interest. I think you all have a perfect background to contribute, to start thinking about what dimensions you'd like to take on as an organizer, as a co-organizer of this broader project. Like I said, there's an abundant space. We need as many people thinking about this as possible. And this is an invitation to become an insider and maybe a key contributor to this project by starting a webinar series. I would like to take this dimension. Maybe Andrew would like to walk us through some of the literature that he's come across, and maybe bring in the author of that, of those papers, of those books. Daniel, you have a different idea of who you might bring on and what question that you would like to drive for two or three webinars. That is the way you become an insider, and then we can think about it. But if there's a workshop there, is there enough there to really put our foot down and bring 15 people there to discuss this over a weekend with some professors coming in or something like that? So this could be a huge project in that sense. It's really pretty big, but this is really an invitation for you to pick up the dimension that you're looking at. But I think we haven't gone through the whole list yet, so I just wanted to make that clear since Jose is already an organizer of YSI in another working group.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're just missing one person, I think. So,
Abigail, right?
Well, Abigail was not responding, so. Pencho.
So, hi, guys. My name is Pencho. I just graduated software engineering at McGill. This is where I met Andrew, who invited me today. In general, I've always had an interest in economics and finance. This started way back when I first immigrated to Canada in 1999. And this was due to a financial crisis in Bulgaria. Basically hyperinflation, bank runs, and so on. So this already started my interest in stability and liquidity early on. More recently, in about 2016, I started reading and more and watching on central banking. This is where I met Perry in his course, and this is how I joined YSI. That being said, it's been a bit intimidating to join working groups. So this is a perfect moment where Andrew invited me yesterday to join this working group. I don't have a former background in finance or economics, but I've taken a few courses and read a lot online. And I would love to help anyone on any topic regarding liquidity and stability. I'll be pursuing my studies in machine learning probably in September. So if that can help any topic, I would love to join. So that's about it.
Andy, do you want to say something? You're now on mute.
It's not working. So just on what I said earlier, does anybody have any ideas you'd like to brainstorm? We have another 5 or so minutes before I need to leave. But if you have any ideas that that have now become more concrete in your mind, that would be now a good time to sort of put those out.
Well, yeah, if I may, I don't know if you remember, some of you may remember that a couple of months ago, I co-organized a webinar series on shadow money. And actually, Kiko asked Daniela about the role of CCPs within shadow banking and shadow money and so on. So, as the webinar was so successful, I mean, we had always so many people attending, over 40.
Wow.
I got stuck in the idea of expanding that project and making something out of that, because first of all, it's an interesting topic, and it's related to this, and second of all, because it attracted so many people that I thought it could be an interesting thing to expand. The problem is I don't know exactly how to do it. I thought about organizing maybe an actual workshop to attend, and kind of a 2-day workshop or something like that, but I didn't quite make my mind about that. So I don't know, jumping to a kind of a different topic, but of course related to this liquidity issue and CCPs, maybe it would be to bring in this shadow money view and the shadow banking into this project. And I guess that could be, easily done. And,
Can I ask you, because I even saw at one time I was even 60 people on there, or so, 50 or 60. Do you have the people who joined these webinars, the names or the contact details?
I mean, I guess that's on the attendance list. I mean, when you register to attend an event, I think we can rescue that list. And I don't know if Jay has more information about this, if we can actually track down the people who join. That's a question for Jay, I guess.
No, that's fine. It didn't work for me actually. But I'm gonna write this to IT. It's an IT question. For me, somehow I cannot access any. It doesn't show the names anymore who participate, for example, on Monday. But if that's the only thing you have, then that's the answer I was looking for. Thank you. But in terms of the idea you have, I'm thinking about this too, because there was indeed a lot of people in there. How to do this in terms of shadow banking? There's an issue. In the sense of that, as far as I can tell, there is no shadow banking that is concerned with CCP, in the sense of there is no rehypothecation, and along this channel there is no money creation whatsoever. A bank has sort of between liabilities and assets, short term, long term, and they're extending their balance sheet. None of that is happening at CCPs. They're matched book. So this is something which is shadow banking and CCP, as far as I can tell, doesn't fit together. But we can still, I'm going to think about this because this was a fine group of people. Yeah. Liquidity must be the answer. It must be the answer.
Yeah. I mean, actually the reason I linked the two was just because of your question. I didn't follow up from there, but when it comes to like the broader topic of this product liquidity, I guess shadow banking kind of like fits quite well to the whole picture.
I don't know if Jay wants to comment on this, but otherwise maybe there are some other ideas in the group.
Sure.
Yeah, just to say, I mean, Daniela, I saw her at the Toronto Summer School. I think she's got a very interesting perspective on this, and this is maybe just off the record. I think she's doing...
This is on the record.
Well, I know you're having the recording. I think we need to... we are creating our own project here, which is trying to draw in people from very different environments, which are YSI attracts a lot of critical scholars, and Daniela is definitely one of part of them, who are sort of inherently critical of finance. But we also need to get those finance guys to talk to us, so we need to sort of keep it a sort of neutral on the our underlying viewpoints. So in that sense, we want to be very strategic in the way we integrate these various perspectives, because we're doing this in the interest of knowledge, in the interest of getting people together and bridge that that otherwise would not be talking. And we need to get a little bit more into those institutions, because that's been basically the critique we've had, that we've just academics just have a sidelined conversation, or the finance guys just talk to each other, and we're not intimidating to anybody, because we're still young, we're not powerful, or it seems so. So we're able to get into those conversations potentially. And there's many people interested in talking to us. So that also becomes the responsibility of us approaching and not framing this project either pro-finance or anti-finance, or this is purely a knowledge-seeking conversation we're having. And you can have your own viewpoint in that sense. And that's also maybe the power of Perry in a way. Anybody can project whatever view they want onto Perry, the critical people and the pro-finance people and all that stuff. That's why Perry is sort of such an attractive guy, because anybody, he just puts his finger on the liquidity issue itself, and you can sort of spin your own story on top of that. And we should be careful not to spin any stories in this project either too soon, before we really know we want to put weight behind this. And that's more or less your personal perspective. And that's always a danger now when we involve senior people, be it involving a Fed person who might want to hijack the conversation and just justify his positions by having scholars reinforce his view, but it might go in another direction, that we have critical scholars or mainstream scholars also try to just use us to frame the conversation in their particular way. We should protect that space. That's all I have to say in terms of if you're thinking about becoming an organizer. We are in charge of our own space that we're creating, and it's power neutral without a perspective that is either or at the outset. And you can have your own personal idea on your personal front. That's completely fine. And the particular dimension might have something that goes into a certain critical or mainstream or finance view, whatever. That's also fine. But we should keep it as open as possible, so people can project and feel like, yes, they can enter the space and can participate into a knowledge-seeking conversation. And that's something that we need to engage in, just as an aside.
Exactly. Just on this one as well, because we talked about this, Jay and I, on the specific question. We're open to critical thinking and people who represent this. At the beginning, we just want to get something off the ground, maybe produce something, and then have them invite critical, more known critical people to this, because that's just, I think strategic is the right word that was used before. Okay.
But that being said, let me just say something about Daniela Gabor. I think the whole Bristol operation that's going on right now is extremely interesting. And if you are already in touch with this group, Ayoze, I think this is really worthwhile fleshing out, knowing that yes, they are critical finance people. That's what they call themselves, and that's great. We should just take it with a grain of salt, and not use that inside the project too much as a label, because we might turn off all kinds of other people that might, we don't want to self-marginalize because we overemphasize one particular view or one particular label. And I know the people are open, but we just need to be careful in this project in particular, because we're dealing with very different environments. We want to keep it very open and strategic from that perspective, even though we're all inherently critical scholars, I think.
That's just question. In the last minutes, if there are any questions that Jay and I can answer on the presentation, on the project, on anything regarding this?
Great. I need to get onto another call now, guys. Our door is open. If you want to explore any idea that you have going forward, let us know. We're happy to discuss.
Yeah.
And
thank you. Thank you for the presentation, guys, and for organizing this cool project.
You're welcome.
Great. Thanks for your interest. We look forward to working with you guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. Jay?
I need to get on another call now. Sorry.
Okay.
But I'll call you after.